A Killing Cure by Ellen Hart. The man who goes up in a balloon does not feel as if he were ascending. He only sees the earth sinking deeper below him. Schopenhauer. Chapter 1. It was just the kind of evening Charlotte Fortnum loved. Cloudy with a slight nip in the air and the faint hint of drizzle. The sculpture garden would be empty tonight. She would have it all to herself. The weather reminded her of the 2 years she'd spent in London. Those had been good years before the realities of adult life had intruded. She'd been so certain of herself then, so sure of what she wanted. Lately, her life had taken a series of confusing turns. It depressed her to think about it, yet for weeks she'd been able to think of little else. To the outside world, she probably still gave the impression of a woman who knew exactly what she wanted, who possessed an unfailing moral center. Unfortunately, Charlotte had a difficult decision to make, probably the toughest decision of her life. And for the first time, even though she knew deep down what she had to do, her resolve was failing. Opening her umbrella, she headed quickly into the garden. Hadn't people always said she walked like a woman with a purpose? Even on her Sunday night constitutional, Charlotte gave the impression of someone late for a class. But then again, she never wanted to keep her students waiting. Their time was as important as hers. Things had to be done correctly, always in proportion. Life had to be lived like that. Charlotte knew people often saw this as rigidity, but whatever it was, she was too old to change. And after all, wasn't that her answer? She'd known since the very first what her decision must be. Passing the Cowles Conservatory, she stopped for a moment to look inside. Palm trees in Minnesota. Even after so many years, the sight still charmed her. She smiled inwardly. As depressed as she'd been, an evening walk was always a tonic. Brooding had never been her way. She tipped her head back and took in the vast slate sky. A fine mist bathed her face in coolness. September was her favorite month. The autumn made her feel so alive, so vital. Things would work out. She should simply stop worrying and do what she knew was right. In the distance, Charlotte could see the steel and wood Irene Hicks and Whitney footbridge. It looked like a pastel version of her brother's erector set. Perhaps a stroll over to Loring Park would do her good. The ducks might still be there. She felt in the pocket of her tweed raincoat for the small sack which contained the remains of the evening's cake. It would at least be an hour before it turned dark. She would be back to her club long before that. With a last peek into the conservatory, Charlotte turned toward her favorite sculpture, a huge spoonbridge and cherry. It had become a landmark in Minnesota, and why not? She was sick to death of traditional monuments, men sitting on horses, men standing with drawn swords, men puff with pride at the sight of some ghastly human slaughter. Psst! Charlotte jumped. Over here, called a voice. She squinted into a particularly lovely grouping of spruce to the locked machine shed. She could barely make out a form standing behind one of the trees. Who is it? Who's there? Come over, said the voice. Glancing around, Charlotte could see everything was quiet. The gravel garden paths were empty of visitors. She stepped hesitantly to the edge of the grass. Just talk to me a minute, came the soft whisper. Oh, said Charlotte, putting her hand on her hip, it's you. What are you doing out here?
Waiting for you.
Why?
I saw you at dinner. You looked like you'd made a decision.
Charlotte remained poker-faced. I didn't see you.
No, but I'm right, aren't I? You have decided.
Gravely, she nodded.
I have to talk to you then. There are too many people milling around the club. We need some privacy.
You're wasting your time. I've said everything I have to say. The figure backed further into the trees.
But I haven't. Listen, just step in here a moment. That way we won't be disturbed.
Charlotte hesitated.
What's wrong?
She cocked her head. Why are you dressed like that?
Come on, you owe me this much. We were interrupted before. I never got to finish. I just want to talk to you for 2 quick minutes. If I can't change your mind in that time, I'll go. You're free to do whatever you want.
Charlotte closed her umbrella and lowered it to her side. It wasn't that she was afraid. It was just all this tedious melodrama. Then again, it was so true to form. All right, she said, marching into the dimness. Say what you have to say. She stood about a foot away, her hand resting on a tree trunk.
I'm sorry.
Her countenance became pure granite. Is that all?
Isn't that ever enough? Your decisions will ruin lives.
Don't you think
that it's an overstatement? The voice crackled with emotion. No.
Charlotte looked away.
I'll do anything you want.
I told you what I wanted weeks ago. Silence.
Then it's useless, isn't it?
I'm afraid so. As Charlotte stood waiting for some clever new approach to this continuing argument, tiny hairs on the back of her neck began to prickle. An inner voice was beginning to sound an alarm. Could it be she'd misjudged? Involuntarily, she found herself inching backwards. You look tired. Go home and go to bed. Besides, she attempted an uneasy smile. I need to get my walk in before dark. Doctor's orders.
I hate you. Do you know that? You're a machine. No feelings.
Without warning, the figure flew at her. Strong hands gripped her neck, cutting off her breath. Charlotte tugged and clawed, struggling with all her might, but almost instantly she felt a strange weakness.
You're always so certain about what's right, so damn superior, came the whispered voice. Saint Charlotte, our Mother Superior.
The figure held on several seconds longer and then gave a shriek as Charlotte's body became limp. Released from the fierce grip, Charlotte slumped against the tree trunk and slipped to the ground. The figure stood over her a moment more, paralyzed. In the distance, a car horn honked. The drizzle was turning to rain. After several more seconds, the figure carefully knelt down next to her, straightening her raincoat and smoothing back her hair. It seemed such a horrible place to leave her, so cold, so exposed, but then again, what did it matter? Charlotte Fortnum had ceased to care.